Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A carefree Football Friday here on the Joe Rose Show with no Joe Rose, no Hollywood either. Zach Duarte and Dan Day in this morning. I am the normal Zach here on the show, and it is Friday. There is a Hurricanes game coming up here Saturday night, 8 p.m. versus UVA, Virginia. It's going to be here at Hard Rock Stadium. We're going to talk to Don Bailey Jr. here on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Good morning, Don. Happy Football Friday to you. How you doing?
That it is. Good morning, Zach and Zach. That's an easy one. We can't forget those names, right?
Right. One with an H, one with a K. It's easy. ESPN was going to try to use our names for their next morning show. We wouldn't allow it, yeah. So there you go.
Make sure you pronounce it right.
Right, yeah, make sure you pronounce it right. Don, I know that you talked last week with Joe, and we've been talking about it. After one of those losses like the Clemson loss, 42-17, it's always the next game we're worried about because it could be the start of something hopefully bad or not bad for the team. And they did it. They beat Pitt 31-19. No matter how you look at it, no matter how you want to criticize this or that or say this was great or this, they did it. They got past that game. We all kind of worried about a little bit, that Pittsburgh game. What did you think before we get to UVA? What did you think about that Pittsburgh game overall for this Canes team?
I think it was a bigger win than a lot of people will realize, especially what they accomplished offensively. You start there, and if you take out the sack yards, they almost rushed for 150 yards against a top 10 rushing defense in America. You look at the fact that they were able to manufacture some big plays again against a very, very sound defense and a head coach that was a successful defensive coordinator. So, I think the offense came through at the end of the day. You don't like that your quarterback is on the tackles chart and throwing a couple interceptions, but that's, part of the ball game. I think it was a quality win offensively. I think the defense has really been overshadowed as far as conversation goes this entire season. When you realize what they did in the red zone, the only touchdown they gave up was, Pitt got the ball at the one-yard line. They held the opponent to field goals only. They were able to manufacture some takeaways. And I think it was a team win, and special teams were just fantastic. I think that was, the game where we really saw the payoff of both the kicker and the punter. And it was a three-phase victory against a team that was two points as far as they lost two games by 2 points that right. Would have had the same record as the University of Miami. And it's, Pitt has always been a tough opponent. But really what Miami did is what they were supposed to do. That's what we're talking about here, is they did what they were supposed to do. They were favored. They were the better team. They were at home. And they won. That's what they were supposed to do.
Don, it was nice to have your Saturday night last week, wasn't it?
Oh, my God. You have no idea. it felt even better on Sunday morning, man. That's where the payoff is, huh?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's I'm all about the late night kickoffs, but I think this is the fourth in 5 weeks or something like that where the Canes are, they're playing on prime time. But, hey, good problem to have. Good problem to have here. In terms of what we're seeing on the field, Don, early on in the season, the Canes really established – the running game. And look, I know that they had what you said there, minus the sack yards, 150 yards last week, but I still felt like the Canes last week, specifically at the start of the game, didn't really get that run game established to then set up the passing game. And we've seen the struggles that the wide receivers are having at creating separation, specifically down the field. Do you think the Canes in this game try to maybe establish the run a little bit more like they did early on this season to then set up the pass? Go ahead, Doug.
What I think you have to realize is the philosophy of this offense. Okay. And listen, I got a hat in my house that somebody gave me this year, and it says, run the damn ball. I mean, that's what it says. So I'm all about about that mindset. But the philosophy of this offense that we're all still learning and we're all getting used to here in South Florida is it's a take what's available offense. And Rhett Lashley is a run first guy. That's his mentality. He understands that. If you want to compartmentalize the game, look at the fourth quarter and what they did. They had the ball 11 or 12 minutes. They ran it. They did a good job. But this whole thing, offense is generated on what is available, finding out what's available and probing the defense in the early parts of the game and seeing what works. And I saw, you have to remember too, I think some of it was affected by the fact you didn't have Brevin Jordan. You know, they put another running back on the field. You saw a lot of two back sets. I think that had something to do with it. I'm not disappointed at all with the running game. I really am not. I mean, I'm a guy that wants to seek balance. And I think at the end of the year, you can't say they did it against UAB, but they didn't do it against Pitt. They did it against Clemson. They didn't do it against Virginia. You know, each team has a different personality, and each game is going to have a different way that you can approach it. But truth be told, I think if you ask any offensive coordinator, they'd like to run for 250 or 300 yards every single game and do the same thing throwing. So I don't think it's for a lack of anything. And I'll tell you, that offensive line was probably their most physical the entire season last week against Pitt. And I just think Pitt is underrated by what people perceive them to be, because they don't go look at the numbers and they don't go look at the tape going into the ball game. You had a quality opponent there.
Yeah, Don, I think you're right on that with the offensive line. Interesting tactic when it came to the depth chart this week, especially when trying to find out exactly what these wide receivers are, who these wide receivers are. The dreaded or. This Don Bailey Jr. or Zach Krantz or Zach Duarte as the starters on the depth chart. Right. I always think that's funny because I think it's a little bit of a motivational tactic and kind of the coach saying, you're not doing your job the way I want to. But it's interesting because, you know, I can imagine those guys do look at the depth chart at some point when it comes out just to see. And now the young guys are right there with the old guys. And I mean, old guys, the juniors or seniors, whatnot on this team. But it's an interesting tactic to use to try to motivate these guys, the or tactic.
Well, you know, I think that it really, in football, at least how I was raised in it and how I've seen it, that or is always lurking. It's right. Not, you know, it's always there. And, you know, you take a Dolphins situation. I think we knew going into the season it was Fitzpatrick or Tua. Right? I mean, the day that they drafted Tua, there was an or behind Fitzpatrick. And it was just, the clock was clicking. I think there's a little bit of motivation to it, but I think it's more factual. I think that football, and I live in that world, of course, is the best person plays. There's no seniority. There's no loyalty. There's loyalty to the best prepared player. There's loyalty to the best player that helps you win. And I think that they've earned that or at that position. It's really just told the young guys, when you're ready, because they haven't been yet, or they would have been there already. I think we just seen a change. When you're ready, the opportunity is here. And that receiver position, every week we've talked about it. I do see them getting better. I do see some things happening. You know, I saw Harley make some great blocks, and he came up with some plays, and I see them learning this offense. They're getting better, not at what we thought. We've been spoiled down here for years, and I hope we get spoiled again with great play there. But these young guys are going to get their chance. You're starting to see them come on the field more. But that tells me that this offense is still teaching a lot of these players how to play in it.
Don, on the flip side, defensively, you know, look, last week I know that Kenny Pickett wasn't in that game, but I felt like the defense did a great job, specifically in the red zone. But, you know, when you think of this defense, specifically at the linebacker position, you think of, you know, Zach McLeod and then, you know, the young guys at that position. What are you seeing there? Because I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, they kind of miss the Quartermans on that defense. They miss the Pinckneys on that defense. What are you seeing out of the linebacker position from a week-to-week basis in terms of the growth from that unit?
I do see him growing, Zach, but I see inexperience. I see a defense and a fan base and broadcasters and people that watch Miami that were spoiled rotten to have two guys come in and start for 4 years in Pickney and Shaq. And then you got great play out of that striker position the last 2 years out of Finley. You know, I see a ton of inexperience. You know, McLeod is the only guy that is the rollover, but I also see some youth. I see the fact that, you know, Brooks and Cave are getting playing time and they're growing and they're blossoming at that position. But I also see Bradley Jennings, unfortunately, who was injured for the most part of his career. I've seen him make some plays. I don't see the established veteran that Miami has had at that position the last, you know, however you want to go from those guys' sophomore year on or their junior year on. I don't see it. So it doesn't shock me what we're seeing there, but I see competition again. You know, that's turning into an or position as well, you know, with Brooks and with Cave coming in. Those guys are getting reps. I think they were both in the mid-30s as far as reps go last week. And I think it's important to continue to build that. I would, you know, it's been linebacker you, right? We're all used to seeing a Ray Lewis. We're all used to seeing a Michael Barrow. We're all used to seeing who all these names that are listed as All-Americans all over the place, and we just don't have that yet at that position. But I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that there was no playing time for other than Pickney and Quarterman.
Don, I just want to say that I'm proud of the three of us here that have we went through the first 13 minutes here without talking about De'Aaron King. Have we brought him up yet? I'm just proud of us because normally, I mean, we brought up Tua before De'Aaron King. I can't believe that actually happened here during your segment here on Fridays. And I just wanted to say that, just point it out. I don't even have a question about it right now. I wanted to talk more about the fact that I think during your segment each week here now, we got to make a special 2 minutes out of it to talk about Will Mallory. I know that Brevin Jordan, you know, is injured or a little banged up, but Will Mallory is the real deal. I know he's kind of second string on this team, and I don't want to say second string, 1B maybe, to Brevin Jordan. They're both studs. But this kid every week, I mean, should I say surprises me at this point? Because maybe he doesn't surprise me each week.
No. He should. I mean, I could see how someone could say that. He doesn't surprise me at all.
Right.
So let's go back to our Brevin Jordan or Will Mallory. That was from week one. I say it's Brevin Jordan and that goes to an and, right? I mean, Will Mallory to me is somewhat been the unsung hero. What you don't know about this guy, you know, he's on the 5:45 a.m. lift program. If you look at his before shot, his freshman year, and you look at him now, he's looking like a model NFL tight end. He has improved his game. He's improved his body. He's improved his conditioning. He's improved his game. Will Mallory is legit. And, you know, fortunately, you've got Brevin Jordan, too. Now, Brevin was hurt a couple games last year. Will Mallory stepped up then. But Will Mallory's making a case that we're going to end up being a two tight end offense,
right?
You know, from when Jordan comes back, he's a playmaker. You guys got to remember, right? What do you have, a 74 yarder called back? Didn't he have some crazy long play called back a couple weeks ago? So I think I'm with you. I have no problem giving Will Mallory airtime every single week, and he's improved as a blocker. And you talk about quality depth, and when Miami was at its greatest, we don't have Brevin Jordan. And look, we get Will Mallory. I like that kind of depth.
Don, in a year where, you know, we've learned not to take anything for granted, how good does it feel to be on the broadcast and be able to have extra points and field goals made and punts go for 50 yards?
All right, Zach, we can talk about that every week, too.
right. That's got to be 2 minutes on Mallory and 2 minutes on the special teams every week, no matter what.
Oh, my God. I mean, how good does it feel? And then, I mean, look, let's go the other way. How much torture were we in last year?
Right.
And then the year before that with the punting game. It was torture. And I forget who I was talking to. Maybe it was you guys. I had the kicking game cost Miami 3 games last year.
Right, yeah.
One of you guys, I think, said 4. You know,
I
had it down as 4.
Right,
so
right.
Yeah, so let's take 4. You're, and now, what a confidence level! I think that's been infectious through the entire team. And you know, Coach Diaz made a point on his show that we did, his TV show, that special teams were a huge part of the victory last week. I mean, you talk about possessions, you talk about making the field longer for the opponent and how that happened. And, you know, the other thing he brought up on his show is, and we're going special teams, is this coverage team, the kickoff coverage team of Miami, is almost all freshmen, and those guys are doing a phenomenal job. So I'm a special teams guy. I mean, I believe in that. And the best news is the punter says he's coming back. Right, let's hope that's right. Contagious, right? Let's hope that there's finally somebody's making a mature decision. And, you know, now if we can just get Derek King, I'll bring him up to come back next year and go for winning the Heisman Trophy. I think everybody will feel better.
Yeah, let's just do it. Let's bring everyone. But everyone's got an extra year eligibility. Everyone can come back, please. Let's just do it. Let's keep this team together. All get older together and better as a team. And by the way, you think that we feel good about special teams? What about the actual head coach who doesn't have to worry about it every single week when he punts the ball or goes for a 50-yard field goal or a 22-yard field goal, which most do make all the time except for this team last year. Don, have a great call Saturday night with Joe Zagacki, 8 p.m. here, 560, the Joe versus Virginia. Always good talking to you, buddy.
Okay, thank you, Zach and Zach. I enjoyed it.
All right, that was Don Bailey. Always, it's still weird when someone says that. That was Don Bailey Jr. joining us. By the way, Miami Hurricanes Football on the Joe, sponsored by Milam's Market, your football tailgating headquarters at the stadium and for your home parties, Milam's Market. We'll get some text messages coming up here in the next segment. Brandon Lang will join us at 8:40. We'll take a break. We'll be back right after this.
I want to talk to you about sports-related injuries, and people ask all the time, where do the pros go? Because everybody wants to go to the best doctors. Whether you're
Five 560 The Joe, WQAM, urges you to make your voice heard. Remember, all registered Florida voters can vote absentee in this upcoming election. The deadline to request your ballot is coming up soon. Don't wait. Visit vote411.org to learn more and request your ballot today. Vote, make it count. Go to vote411.org. 305-567-0560 is the text machine. If you want to join us here in the morning, I got a couple texts I want to read. After our conversation a little bit earlier about a certain quarterback now starting for the Miami Dolphins. I don't say his last name because I butcher it every time. I just call him Tua, like Madonna or Cher, and he's just Tua, and that's just how I do it. Because I don't know, I have a problem somehow saying certain people's names, unless it's Zach, because then, you know, we're fine here in the morning if I could at least say that. One of the texts that came in this morning, Tua got hurt playing against a second-rate Mississippi State defense. He had a stud line blocking for him. He's a fragile football player. Here we go.
It's not that he's fragile. He's just, like, if he had, would make better decisions in terms of, like, you look at the instances where he gets hurt, and they're all when he's trying to extend plays that are, they're already done. That plays, again, did you watch the game last night? Did you see Carson Wentz throw that interception in the end zone, Zach? I'm not sure. Like, he made that, and he made a throw, like, three or four passes before that where he threw completely across the field, across his body. It's like, stop trying to make these hero ball plays. If the play's over, just throw it out or throw it, you know, throw it at the feet of a receiver or something. And Tua has that issue where he tries to prolong a play because he thinks something's going to develop. And sometimes it works, but a lot of times it doesn't. And if he can get that out of his system, to the point that where he's not going to put himself in harm's way, then okay, like, I think he has a lot better shot at staying healthy for the good duration of his career.
Here's another one. Says Aaron Donald didn't even get a sniff of Jimmy G last week. Let's pump the brakes, thinking Tua's going to die next weekend.
Okay, like, did you watch, not you, Zach, but did the person texting, like, watch the game? Did you see what plan they had for Aaron Donald? Were they triple teaming him? Because Aaron Donald still has 7 sacks this season. Which for a defensive tackle is a lot.
Well, someone actually texted in right after that. I watched coaches tape in the Rams versus the 49ers. Donald was a non-factor. No double teams, one blocker, one-on-one, and he lost.
Yeah, I'm going to have to see that one to believe it.
Right. I kind of like that text. I haven't seen it, but I'm running with that texter right there. That's my new favorite texter here this morning. Someone texted, I love this move. Can't play from under a skirt. Two is as healthy as he'll ever be. Let's let him rock.
He's not as healthy as he'll ever be. That's not true.
maybe now he is. It's possible. I didn't realize we drafted Mr. Glass, so the message to the quarterback is we want you to play, but not against the good teams.
Well, we did draft Mr. Glass, so and you know, and when you do that, you kind of have to deal with that. So I mean, like the guy, how many injuries did he have in college? How many surgeries, huh?
He did have a couple.
Yeah. That's called being Mr. Glass.
But he's medically cleared. The doctors have cleared him.
Okay, he's still Mr. Glass. Like, have you seen the movie Glass? Have you seen Samuel L. Jackson?
I have, actually.
And Unbreakable? Yeah. Okay, so. Yeah.
Someone it said if we had drafted Justin Herbert, we would not be having this conversation.
Oh, my God. He's still 0-4, man.
Right. I mean, listen, I understand the whole, we could have had, you know, Herbert, or if we sucked a little bit worse, we could have had Burrow. Those two guys combined in all their starts this year have one win. Both guys. So that's a half a win each, and I don't think they go by half wins in the NFL. So there it is right there.
And by the way, they're both taking beatings in the backfield, by the way.
Right. And that's what a rookie quarterback normally will do, is learn the hard way, I guess you could say. And that's why we just need to get Tua in there at this point.
By the way, Aaron Donald is first in the NFL in sacks.
Yeah, he's a pretty good player. A decent player. Yeah.
Someone
goes, you know, I fear Donald, but he's never been a dirty player. What scares me? Those same Jets we played, a team with nothing to lose and a defensive coordinator that once was fired for putting bounties on opposing players. That's when I'll be worried. He's got a good point.
I guess, man. I mean, look, would I be more worried about the Jets than Aaron Donald? No. That's not going to happen. I get what the texter's saying, but I'm going to go with, like, the most feared defender in the NFL. Again, this generation, which is Aaron Donald.
Yeah. How about this one? This won't be popular, but if I'm Tua, I can't trust Fitz. When he goes to the media and says, quote, I'm locked in a room with my replacement, that would bother me. Yeah, it was an interesting kind of media session Ryan Fitzpatrick had after learning he was not going to be the starter anymore. Probably shocked more people than it did kind of sound normal to more people, I guess you could say.
Yeah, you know, I definitely appreciate the honesty. I expect in a few days for him to come around. Look, I see both sides of this, and I think most people should. Like, he's playing great. He doesn't know if he's ever going to start a game again, but, you know, the flip side, he said this a few weeks ago, I'm a placeholder, you know?
Right.
Like, he knew what was happening here, and it just happened to be when he's playing really well. But, you know, the track record on Ryan Fitzpatrick is when he's playing really well, it doesn't last that long.
Right. Two texts real quick that just came in. The two surgeries on his ankles are elective surgeries to make his ankles stronger. He did not need them. The ankle surgeries are to make the ankles stronger before the injury and to keep him from missing a game. High ankle sprains are common.
Okay, like, I'm not a doctor, right? But, like, I'm not getting a surgery unless I absolutely need it.
Right.
You know, I'm not.
And maybe, like, he was told that was for future, this would be the right thing to do.
It's not a boob job. Like, that's not how it works, you know?
Thank God. Right.
It's not like, well, let me just enhance myself and go under the knife. Like, no. Like, there was obviously an issue there in the first place that they needed to go in and correct and fix and, quote, make stronger. I don't even people think they know what happens when that. They just read, oh, he made it stronger. Well, yeah, because you have to go in, you have to repair something, you have to do physical therapy, you have to rehab. It's not a boob job. You're not just going in and enhancing something. It doesn't work like that.
Are you legit? You're not scared to play two, are you?
No.
Okay.
I'm just providing.
It's just the matchup this week that you're scared of.
I'm not
or next
scared.
Week, excuse me.
I'm not scared of it. I'm just like, was this the best time to start him? Like, I'm not scared of it. It's just
right.
When you look at the schedule and you say, when can we start Tua? When would be a good week to start Tua? And I really do think there is something to work. Look, and again, if this was the – and I have so much to say here. This wasn't the original plan 2 weeks ago when they didn't have the bye this week. The plan 2 weeks ago was start him in 6 weeks when the bye originally was, right? Because if the Dolphins had known their bye was this week, they would have played him against San Francisco. They would have played him when they had a 25-point lead.
Right. Yeah, maybe.
But they didn't. And if there was some kind of – like, you're watching Jalen Hurts right now. He's getting worked into the offense. I'm not necessarily all for that creating a package for him thing, but – to get him some reps, there was no preseason. There was a truncated training camp. There was what, 7 padded practices before the season started. Like, if there was a way to kind of work him in, I think that would be better. And since there wasn't, I just think you know, ingratiating him into the offense at an easier portion of the schedule, to me, is a better idea.
Well, how about this one? Your co-host is uninformed. Researched the tightrope surgery. There was no rehab. He played the following week after that ankle surgery.
Okay.
Yeah,
buddy,
take who, that, Zach.
Okay, buddy, who
take
did
that.
His buddy who did his Google search as opposed to somebody who works with people's bodies for a living. Like, okay, man. Congratulations on your Google search.
I like the Google search there. Let's just wait until we play a high school team, so we won't be worried about big defensive linemen, huh?
That's actually a really good plan. Like, the Dolphins should probably do that.
If they play Central, they'll still have some pretty big guys there. Miami Central's got some. Palmetto's got two dudes going to the University of Miami in defensive tackle. Not sure where all these people are coming from with Fitz playing well. He had 4 Fitz tragic games and 2 Fitz magic games.
Oh, look, he wasn't the best, but I thought he was doing a good job. Fitzpatrick, right?
I don't think Fitz was playing terrible. I think that he did have one of those games where I thought that after that game, we came in on Monday morning, I thought maybe it's Tua time at this point. At this point, maybe you should go there. And then we found out from the coach, and that's, I guess, where all this stems from, too, with all the people either for or against putting Tua in at this point. 2 weeks ago, or maybe a little bit more than 2 weeks ago, the coach did come out and say he's not ready. If he was my son, I wouldn't put him in, you know, in this type of situation at this point. So I don't know what changed in the last 2 weeks outside of Robert Hunt joining that offensive line and Austin Jackson not playing.
Hey, let me just quote you something here from footankledc.com. The tightrope is a device made by Anthrax, an orthopedic implant company that is used to stabilize after an injury. Huh. I just wanted to read that.
You went to Google also. Very good.
No, this is an actual orthopedic website. I'm sorry. I have better sources than that.
Someone said, how dare you diss Dr. Google? That's not very nice of you at this point. Someone said, and this is okay text. I'm okay with this. My worry is that how many 20-year-olds break a hip? One good hit, he might be gone.
Yeah, there is some credence to that text. That is a good text.
Right. I am not going to believe that text whatsoever at this point. I don't believe it. Fitz is 3rd in the NFL in interceptions.
What else are the Google Docs telling us?
Do you help people get fit that you're not a doctor?
I help people with their corrective injuries. Yes, I have a corrective exercise certification. Yes.
Right. So that's it.
Bring it on. Bring it on.
Right,
let's go.
Right. Tua should give one of his footballs to Zach. Yeah, they're very nice there, sir. Which Zach? Which Zach? That's the problem here this morning. Which Zach are you ripping here on the morning show? 305-567-0560 is the text line. We're going to talk coming up next to Brandon Lang. Let's take a break. We'll give you some opportunities to win some money coming up here in the next segment with Brandon Lang. I want to tell you about Diamonds Direct if we are back right now and tell you about what's going on there this weekend. Huge Tacori collection on sale and on display for Diamonds Direct. You've heard me talk about Diamonds Direct for a very long time now, about the incredible showroom in Boca. You've heard about their no middleman direct importer prices on all the fine diamonds. But have you heard about their partnership with the top bridal designers in the world? That's right. Diamonds Direct has partnerships with the finest names in bridal and fashion jewelry with over 4,000 designer rings, including Tacori, the best of the best. Every Tacori ring is handcrafted by true artisans in California. This is a brand women love for bridal and for fashion. Every Tacori piece is meticulously made with care and attention to detail. There's a reason every girl wants to be a Tacori girl, right? Well, today and Saturday at Diamonds Direct, they are showcasing the entire Tacori collection, a spectacular 2-day Tacori trunk show with styles you've never seen before, with special incentives on Tacori purchases just for this event. So come find the Tacori ring of her dreams. It's at Diamonds Direct today and Saturday in Boca behind the Town Center Mall. Directions and details at DiamondsDirect.com. A huge, huge, huge opportunity for you to get some great deals on all the Tacori collection they have there at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct, you're gonna love it. All right, folks, Zach Grant's here for you. Zach Duarte going to be here in just a second. Brandon Lang going to be skipped this week. Not feeling great, by the way. He's in the hospital, so we're going to leave him alone at this point for today. And by the way, the that Joe wants to see you at a Dolphins game at Hard Rock Stadium, courtesy of Dade County Federal Credit Union. Dade County Federal Credit Union, the preferred credit union of the Miami Dolphins. For more info, go to finscu.com. If you want a chance to win those Dolphin tickets to a home game coming up, maybe that Tua game versus the Rams, log on right now to WQAM.com, the home of the Dolphins. Is AM 560, FM 96.5, HE2, the Joe, WQAM, and streaming on radio.com. Text line wide open as well, 305-567-0560, if you want to get in here. Also, when Duarte comes back, I want to read some of these texts that just came in because they're going after Duarte again for the doctor, the Google doctor type thing there. We had a lot to talk about with Brandon Lang, kind of upsetting. I don't get to talk to him for a little bit. Duarte back, I could hear him. Duarte, I got to read it. Brandon Lang is sick. He's in the hospital. So we're not going to be able to talk to him today. So I have to read these two texts that just came in because, you know, now the Tua and the doctor and the Google thing is the hot topic here on the text.
Here's the real important thing. Did Brandon go to see one of these Google doctors?
I hope not at this point.
Because, yeah, me neither, because, right, yeah. I mean, they're completely unreliable.
Well, the guy, this someone says here, this guy said he had a corrective exercise certificate. I'm CPR certified. Doesn't make me qualified to give definitive opinions on the respiratory system. There you go.
Oh, my God.
Take that, Duarte. Take it.
Yeah. Do you work with this every single day? It's one of many certifications I have, and I utilize it every single day for several hours a day with people. I'm not just saying I'm CPR certified and then saying I can, you know, tell you what's the proper way to give the Heimlich maneuver or not. No. I utilize this every single day, and I understand the human body 10 times better than anybody texting this show does, unless they're an orthopedic surgeon. So get the hell off of my case, because I'm right and you're wrong, and deal with it.
Yeah, right. So there it is right now. Google doctor coming after you. Another one says, not many 20-year-olds break their hip. Then again, not many 20-year-olds get tackled by two 250-pound men simultaneously.
Well, a lot of 20-year-olds do, because, you know, college football, so.
There are a lot of college football players out there, right? Yeah. Here's an interesting one, and it has nothing to do with the Google doctors. It has to do with the actual Fitz media sessions. It's Fitz's media comments are going to make the locker room more unsettled than Flo actually naming two of the starter now. And I kind of felt that when I heard his press conference, too. If anyone was really team Fitzpatrick and didn't want to see Tua play in that locker room, I can imagine there will be a little of the dust that needs to settle before everyone's very happy in there. But if Tua comes out against the Rams and has a pretty decent game and they win that game somehow, I don't think it's going to even matter.
Yeah, I mean, like, that could be right. Like, there could be something there. I'm not really sure if that's going to be the case or not. Look, Brian Flores, for the better part of a year and a half now, has had really good control of that locker room. And if you weren't on board, then see you later, right? Like, we don't need you here, so... I'm interested to see how that develops. I'm not really too worried about that, though. I'm not gonna lie to you. That's not something that's been on my mind at all.
Right, right. Just at that point, I just want to see. I don't know if there was a correct answer, and I don't think anyone really had it. Everyone's got an opinion on it, but when's the right time to put Tua in? How many games you need to see Tua play? Because we did a poll here on the show earlier, I think this week or late last week, of what do you want to see or when do you want to see Tua play? And there were a good percentage of people that said redshirt him the entire season. I don't think that was the right answer whatsoever. You needed to see what you have in him, especially when you have four picks that are going to be in the top 60 or 70 next year in the NFL draft. Tua is the guy. You drafted him to be the franchise quarterback. And the only person that is going to take the heat for that, if that doesn't work out, is going to be Chris Greer. Chris Greer will lose his job if Tua is not the guy. It doesn't have anything to do with the other two first-round picks or the second-round picks or any of the 11 draft picks or 10 outside of the 11th draft pick in Tua. The entire draft will be graded and based on how Tua plays for this team.
Yeah, look, I agree. I would have been okay if they had, quote-unquote, redshirted him this season. I would have been okay with that, but you're right. When you have four or five picks in the top 70, and look, we've seen it now the last couple of years where a team drafts a quarterback, and then the next year in the first round, they're doing it again.
Right. It worked for Arizona, right.
Yeah, it's worked really well. I don't know if you saw them last week. Dude threw nine passes, and they scored 98 points or whatever.
Right.
Not everybody gets to play Dallas every week, but by the way, speaking of Chris Greer, like, totally off topic, but, like, can we give him some credit for his seventh-round hits, by the way? Like, Isaiah Ford, Miles Gaskin, and now Adam Shaheen was a trade for a seventh round pick. Like, dude, you get two touchdowns from a seventh round pick, that's a win, right? Like, a lot of those guys don't even make a roster.
Well, most seventh round picks are guys that you're bringing onto the team because it'll help with the salary. You're not expecting much from them. Maybe special teams players, probably practice squad at the end of the day. Anyway, there's credit to be given. The problem is that when you look at recent drafts, when you look at how this team is being built, the entire thing is on two different positions in my mind, especially for the time being where we are right now. One, it's obviously the quarterback, and it's Tua and the situation with him. Two, it's the offensive line. And what I think he needs to get a little bit of credit for so far through the midway point of this season is there's a possibility that you found three dudes in this draft that could start on your offensive line. And for how many years now, whether you cover this team or whether you're a fan of this Dolphins team, has it been tough to even find one out of the two guard positions or one tackle that's not a first-round pick that you have to start because he was a first-round pick? Like, they legit might have found three guys. Ted Karras is, you know, and Ted Karras is still a young guy, too. He's not an old guy in the NFL. And Eric Flowers was signed here for a couple of years. And Jesse Davis is there, too. There's a possibility with the three young guys and the three guys that are veterans on this team so far. You have a six-man rotation offensive line that might have been the best you've had since, I don't know, early 2000s, like, or, you know, Ricky Williams days. Like, that's when we have to go back to. I think that needs to be, and I've been a very big critic of Chris Greer. I did not think that Chris Greer deserved this chance, to be honest with you, to rebuild this team because he's been part of these other drafts and he's been part of the scouting department for, you know, two decades now. He's been around for a long time. But I do have to give credit where credit's due. I don't know anything about Tua yet outside of the fact that as a fan and a media guy, I'm excited to see what he brings to the table. Austin Jackson, while he was playing in there, looked pretty good for a guy that you just picked out of a draft and started him as your left tackle. Robert Hunt looked pretty good in the time he's been in there. And honestly, Solomon Kinley, to me, has been the best out of the three.
Yeah, I mean, Solomon Kinley, what a great draft pick in the fourth round. But by the way, did you see Andrew Thomas last night? Like,
right.
I think Austin Jackson's definitely played better than Andrew Thomas.
I agree,
this season.
I agree.
Yeah, so, like, you know, and you were wondering in the first round, hey, do you maybe jump up and get one of those first four guys? And they didn't do it. They stood pat. They took Austin Jackson, who was the fifth left tackle off the board. And I know we've only seen maybe a handful of games from him, but he looked better than Andrew Thomas did last night because he looked bad.
Right, yeah, and you're talking about guys that were picked by, you know, top five, top seven, top ten in this draft. And then you see, look at Austin Jackson, who might not have been the sexy name or sexiest name when the Dolphins were up there picking and they picked a tackle, but it looked like it might have worked out for this team real well. I think that the offensive line obviously is going to be key for Tua and then putting the right guys around him if this is going to be your franchise, the blueprint for the franchise going forward. But I do think that those three offensive linemen he drafted, so far so good, and that's the best you could ask for. At this point, we could be talking about the fact that one of these guys is a complete bust and he shouldn't be there. And it brings me back to the Michael Dieter argument. He was a third-round pick, and Michael Dieter can't sniff the field at this point. And that was a wasted pick, or so far it looks like a wasted pick for this Miami Dolphins team. We have a big 9 o'clock hour coming up as well. By the way, we'll probably hear from Charlie Cashley at the end of the show, former GM at NFL Network analyst. We have a lot more text messages to get to as well, and just a lot more stuff to talk about. It's a fun, carefree Friday here, Football Friday. No Dolphin game this weekend. Canes and Virginia Saturday night at 8 p.m. Get ready for that one. Another big game for the Miami Hurricanes. Actually, at this point, every game for the Miami Hurricanes is big if you want to try to win that ACC or get to that ACC championship game against more than likely Clemson. Let's take a break. Zach Duarte's in for Joe Rose this morning. Dan Day's here for Hollywood. That's the crew this morning. We'll take a break. 305-567-0560 is the text machine as well if you want to be connected with us this morning and get your voice out there. We'll take a break. We're going to be back right after this.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.